Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. You're listening to The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It is time for The Bigger Picture, and our bigger picture here in Singapore is that we have bigger circuit breaker measures that are going on until June 1st now.
Yeah, but while it's extended, there's also additional support for businesses and workers.
Yeah, so we are talking about that jobs credit support scheme. So that is something that will be extended into the month of May for all sectors. So that's great news for those involved. You are looking at these support measures costing an additional $3.8 billion. So this subsidizes 75% of the first $4,600 of gross monthly wages. So that's good news for the support side. But you know, on the economic side, we can expect things to slow down a bit with the tighter measures.
Yeah.
And of course, construction among them, with foreign workers living in dormitories having to pretty much go through a lockdown right now. So that prevents them from going to work. So economists cutting their forecasts for Singapore for this year. And to get a bigger picture on how this is going to affect markets, let's get the view from Manpreet Gill. He is the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Morning, Manpreet. How are you doing today?
Morning, Ryan. Good, thanks. All set up to work from home for a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah. 4 more weeks to go to June the 1st. Manpreet, help us to walk through what you think of the impact this will have on markets when we talk about 4 weeks of extra tightening or restrictions. Is this something you think markets will start pricing in terms of the impact on earnings down the road?
Well, I think the impact on earnings is something that's already in the process of being priced. I mean, whether it's here in Singapore or you know, around the world more broadly, because the debate has already shifted and arguably had shifted last week itself to, you know, what could reopenings, you know, or end of lockdowns potentially look like. And I think that the experience we've got here in Singapore really sort of points to the fact that there's no easy response because we're clearly seeing countries falling into two camps. There's the camp which is attempting to, you know, put in place some sort of gradual reopening to try and minimize the economic impact. But clearly there the risk is that we get a second wave of infections that force new lockdowns. And then, of course, there's the other approach, which is to extend lockdowns as they are, as even parts of Europe did earlier on in their infection cycle. So I think, you know, that debate is very firmly, you know, the focus of markets. And, you know, that's really going to be that together with nature of policy stimulus in major economies, I think is going to be the real sort of trade-off and tussle for markets. And I think in the short term, that does create a few more risks. But if you start looking out longer term, looking out a year or more, I think the policy measures actually what's really important to getting things back to normal at some point.
Yeah, Manpreet, those reopening of economies is going to be crucial for the outlook for oil. So that seems to be still in the picture. We saw the May contracts expire. We thought, no, that would be the end of it. But it seems that the momentum is continuing over into the June contracts. And we are looking at it down 40% for WTI. And Brent also affected, down more than 20%. Manpreet, walk us through what's going on in the world of oil. And when you look at where this is, and do you see a floor for the prices right now?
Well, on oil, there are two sort of factors at work here, right? I think one is the expectation that global demand is going to slow by a lot, and that the OPEC plus demand cuts we've got so far may not be enough to support oil prices. And I think that's one driver which is common regardless of whichever oil price you look at, the US WTI or the more global Brent benchmark. But what's happening in the US specifically on the WTI contract, which is where we saw the negative oil price, you know, storage is the other factor, because when you have demand sort of fall off a cliff, producers still, you know, producing new oil, you know, eventually a lack of storage is what's hurting, you know, that price more so than what you're seeing in international oil prices. So I think both sort of require some resolution. I think what will be key from here is, you know, to get some sort of bottom, to get at least some support coming to the oil markets. It'll really have to be policy, you know, whether that's coming from OPEC plus, if anything's forthcoming, or we see producers in the US actually begin to slow or stop production, either voluntarily or involuntarily. I think that is really what we need in the short term, looking out the next few weeks, for oil prices really to find a more sustainable bottom. I think looking out beyond that, it's tough to see how oil prices may rebound in a bigger way until and unless we see more optimism on global economic growth, because that's fundamentally where the thread leads back to. You need growth to rebound, you need demand for oil to rebound before you start to see, you know, more sustained gain in oil prices and a return to sort of the $30 to $40 range that we were in before this started.
Yeah, so something to look out for to see when this will turn the corner. We are chatting with Manpreet Gill. He is the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Manpreet, looking at the commodities space a bit more closely, if you look at oil, right, the Hin Leong has been in the news and for the wrong reasons. And this is because it's been covering up losses for its futures trading. And that seems to be putting a dampener across the entire sector. And we are hearing reports that banks are tightening on lending to these sectors. And that could start a bit of a, you know, knock-on or ripple effect. When you look at the commodity space, is this pretty much a bad time to invest in anything commodities-related? The type of headwinds you're looking at, you know, bank cutting back on lending, and then you have the demand picture as well. What's your take on this, Manpreet?
Well, I think when you talk about commodities, I think the energy space specifically does look quite difficult in the short term because, you know, like you said, I think one part of that is potential defaults. I mean, that's something you do see when you see asset price stress in most past cycles, so we don't expect this cycle to be any different. And I think obviously we've seen, you know, the example, of course, you pointed out here, but actually the biggest concentration of defaults may be in the U.S. high-yield energy sector, because that's where a lot of firms may not survive. Now, these kind of markets do also create opportunities, because if you look at sort of asset class level approaches, you look at, for example, U.S. high yield, actually periods when default worries tend to rise tend to be the best periods to start investing. And I think if you're taking sort of an index level approach or a broad market approach, that can be something to watch out for opportunities as we come through. Though my preference would be, of course, to keep it broader at a, for example, U.S. high yield level rather than focusing on, you know, the energy sector alone, or we'd actually prefer Asian dollar bonds at a broader level. But I think the key is when you start going beyond that, you start thinking about individual companies, whether it's on the equities bond side, there you have to be far more careful because, you know, prices may weaken and offer an opportunity, but defaults, actual defaults tend to come through well after a market recovery kicks off. And obviously the only way to make money is to avoid those defaults, which inevitably happen during you know, weak parts of the economic cycle like we are in. So I think that's the trade-off. And I think for us, if you're thinking about taking advantage of opportunities, to us, it ultimately comes down to either in the bond market, focusing on either the broader EM space or Asia dollar bonds more broadly, because those broad benchmarks actually pay quite well rather than have to take specific risks, company risks at this point in time. Or you follow the stimulus measures in the equity market should we get another opportunity to enter open up in the next couple of weeks.
Hey, Manpreet, if we turn our attention to the stock markets, right, what are you looking at in terms of opportunities and what to avoid? Looking at the latest earnings we got overnight, Netflix, one stay-at-home stock, saw record jump in numbers, 15 million. That's more than double what they were looking out for. And then you have consumer-facing ones like Coke saying, you know, global revenues is down 25% for April. Is this a signal to, you know, look at stay-at-home stocks more closely and to stay away from consumer-facing ones?
Well, to some extent, but arguably we're already a little bit beyond that. I think you know, the market is ultimately looking quite a bit forward at this point in time, and I think the beneficiaries of stay at home and losers from, you know, continued lockdowns, that's arguably already in the price to some degree. And I think for us, the focus would really be, I think, you know, stay at home could benefit, for example, if we realize, you know, reopenings might be more gradual or slower than what one might expect. But for me, I'd really focus more so on two approaches. I think one is that may be expressed to some degree through a sectoral approach. So tech, for example, surprisingly enough, has actually done relatively a little bit better or less bad through the period of volatility. And a lot of that, you know, whether we're thinking from a consumer stay at home or, you know, even workplace stay at home, cloud demand, for example, that's been quite strong. But second, I'd also focus on the broad market cycle. Because earnings downgrades, we know they were going to look bad in Q1, and arguably a lot of that extend to Q2. But I think what we're seeing on the policy side, and whether we see more stronger signs of a technical market bottom in the U.S. especially, I think those will be signals for us to start becoming more optimistic on equities. Because what earnings tell us is that there may be room for more adjustment, earnings and technicals, but you you know, if you get, you know, more interesting valuation levels back, for example, where S&P was around 2200 a few weeks ago, you know, there your 12-month returns start looking very, very interesting.
Okay, somebody look at technology stocks with that work-from-home trend still going quite strong. We've been chatting with Manpreet Gill. He's the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Manpreet, thank you so much for your analysis this morning.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Look forward to speaking again.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.